4,000. One of the continuing threads on this program over the last, well, it's approaching almost 3 years now, has been this very concerning shift to green energy. That would, of course, be wind and solar and all of that, and seemingly just putting one very efficient form of energy on the back burner. And that would be nuclear energy. Joining us on the program this morning is Yael Osowski. He is the deputy director over at the Consumer Choice Center. He had an article in Real Clear Energy earlier this week. A nuclear renaissance is the best path forward. Yael, good morning to you. Hope all is well. What are you seeing with all of this?
Well, I think what's really interesting is that we're having all of these conversations about energy, energy use, sort of a climate future. We've got another climate COP this year. Everyone's talking about having to reduce energy at the same time that we're talking about making everything electric, whether it's your car or that heat pump the federal government is forcing on you. We're supposed to be using a lot more electricity, but if we look at all the sources of electricity right now, we're all still heavily reliant on things like natural gas and coal. And the entire narrative about wanting to push solar and wind energy, we just sincerely don't have the technology to do it. We don't have the capacity to do it. And then we're forgetting an awesome technology we've had for over 60 years that's right here in North Carolina. It's in South Carolina, and it's powering a huge part of the grid, and that's nuclear energy. And for some reason, nuclear has not really been accepted into the entire green taxonomy of what clean energy is. But North Carolina, actually, they bucked that trend. This was a recent veto that was overturned by the state legislature just last month. It didn't really get much press as far as I saw in North Carolina and federal stuff. It was mostly a lot of nuclear nerds. But this was Senate Bill 678, and the legislator was successful in overriding Cooper's veto, and that will allow nuclear energy to be considered clean, meaning that North Carolina is actually that much closer to getting to this energy or climate goal, whether or not you believe in it, but to be 50% the 2005 carbon levels by 2030. So this is actually something very good, and we're seeing a little bit more investment in nuclear energy in North Carolina as well. So these are actually positive signs and showing that entrepreneurship and energy solutions are winning and not just things heavily subsidized by the government.
Well, and that's exactly the case. Those heavy subsidies is exactly what we're talking about. When you look at the energy profile of this state as a whole, Yael, you're talking about a little more than 6% of our energy profile comes from solar and wind combined, yet they want to continue to push these as the only suitable forms of energy going forward. The math just, to me, it just doesn't work. I don't see how you can build up those pieces of energy in a sufficient way where they can make up the difference like coal and nat gas and nuclear provides right now.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of taxpayer money from people in Brunswick County to buy solar panels made in China. And, you know, this is not how you have an effective energy strategy. And the thing about nuclear is, and, you know, we've heard many scare stories, we've heard all of the bad things. I mean, the new technology that exists is just incredible, and it's fascinating. And in North Carolina, nuclear energy already supplies about a third of all of the electricity. So that's three plants. We got five nuclear reactors in North Carolina. That's actually the fifth highest in the entire country. We don't really talk about that much. There's a lot of focus on trying to get everybody cut down on oil and things. But North Carolina is actually a leader. You know, unfortunately, South Carolina beats us out a little bit. You know, they're in the top three. But if you have a third of your electricity generated by nuclear power, which can run for decades and decades, that's actually a better solution than any of the renewables that they keep trying to sell, whether it be solar or wind. You mentioned the low numbers in North Carolina. I mean, again, that's just with the subsidies. If you remove those, if you take away all the money that both the state and the federal government has poured into that, you just don't have the same market. And I think a lot of people have neglected nuclear because it's seen as an old school technology. But realistically, this is produced by science. It's produced by the bombardment of atoms to provide clean power that lasts for a long time. And most importantly, it's incredibly dense, meaning if we do go to electrification of everything, we're going to need nuclear to make that happen.
Yeah, Lisowski is our guest this morning. He's the deputy director over at the Consumer Choice Center. He's got an article in Real Clear Energy, that's a subsidiary of Real Clear Politics, this week talking about this energy form that has seemingly fallen by the wayside. Yael, there's a huge energy facility here. It's a GE Hitachi Nuclear. It's in New Hanover County. It's up on the Castlehaine Road. And they have been working on and continue to work on small four modular reactors. It's amazing this stuff is happening in our backyard. And knowing a couple of engineers over there, there was a huge gap in the 1980s when you had things like Three Mile Island, and in the 70s with movies like The China Syndrome and things going on over in Russia, where the nuclear industry really took it on the teeth. And now they're trying to recover from that and get folks back interested in developing this new form of technology.
Yeah, and one thing that I would say that conservatives have been very skeptical about nuclear energy about is that usually these are very large sites. They require a lot of construction. It's a lot of capital costs. Generally, you're talking about electricity utilities. In North Carolina, it's mostly Duke Energy. So there's a lot of government cooperation, government regulation, and that's definitely true. But what we see with this new generation, like you just mentioned, these small modular reactors, this is something that you would attach to, you know, the plant that's making those BMWs or the plants that are churning out all the IKEA furniture or all the furniture stores up in High Point. If we can actually localize that electricity generation, we're not going to need as much central planning. We're not going to need to have as much of a government-led approach when it comes to electricity utilities. You know, there's a lot of consumer topics that I talk about, write about. Electricity is one of the most complicated ones because of how much government regulation there is, how many bureaus, utility, the amount of regulation and regulators and compliance that has to be done is just, it's unfathomable. But to see this kind of innovation that's happening, there's been a lot of roadblocks that are put in the way. There's the National Regulatory Commission in the U.S. that's right up there in D.C. So they're halting or putting a lot of these plans on ice. And the thing is that all of the coal that we still use to produce electricity in North Carolina, you know, Duke Energy would love to convert those to nuclear. But sometimes these are 10-year-long processes. They need to get all kinds of permits, planning sessions. It's very difficult to do. I hope that we can unlock a lot of that toolbox and the regulatory systems so that we can make it easier, because it will mean in the long run that we'll have cheaper electricity bills, we'll have better rates that we can pay, and then hopefully everybody can be well off. We don't have to, you know, put 20 to 30% of our monthly income in the energy bill anymore. We can reduce that and make everybody more prosperous as a result.
And it's not just North Carolina. You've got 22 states, including Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C., that have committed to being 100% carbon-free electricity generation, or net zero, by 2050. You might look at the calendar this morning and say, 2050, that's a long time away. But as you noted, Yael, you don't just build these facilities or convert these facilities overnight. These are sometimes 10, 15-year processes. This stuff's got to start now if any of these regulations and guidelines want to be hit.
Yeah, and Duke Energy has been really insistent. There's one called the Bellows Creek Steam Station. Right now it's kind of quasi-natural gas and coal that's north of Greensboro. They've been trying to convert that, and they have to start this dialogue that's about 15 years long in order to get things going. And, you know, this is kind of the model of the old school nuclear, and that's why I talk about next generation technology, these small modular reactors. These are the things that could power a neighborhood, or you could power, you know, a large school, or you could power, you know, whatever building it might be. The thing about nuclear energy is it is it's very intense, and it is incredibly dense, meaning all you need is a couple of pellets of uranium and you could power basically all the electricity we need in 2, 3, 5 years. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of these roadblocks. I would very much praise the North Carolina legislature here in this instance. They're changing the legislative language that would make it a lot easier. Again, whether or not you believe we have to go carbon neutral by 2050, now by adding nuclear in that definition, that means that North Carolina is already pretty close to getting up to 50%. We can hopefully get a lot more going on the nuclear Let's see, we can get more plants, perhaps, you know, in the south of the state, perhaps in the east of the state. There's a lot of coal facilities that still exist that federal regulations are penalizing. I'm really actually excited about this, and I think it's very good for North Carolina, for anyone who pays for electricity, uses electricity, whether you're a home or a business. There's just a lot of upside. You know, I just got to give some praise or some shout out there for the legislators in Raleigh, finally.
Yeah, and as you noted, very little media attention to that at all. We're joined by Yael Lisowski this morning. He, the deputy director over at the Consumer Choice Center. Yael, hang on for me if you would. I got to grab a break. I want to talk again. Let's go back to solar and wind and where these things are coming from. Are these being built in our own backyard or are they being shipped in from overseas? We'll continue that conversation after this. Welcome back to Wilmington's Morning News. Yael Lisowski is our guest this morning. He's the deputy director over at the Consumer Choice Center. We're talking a little bit about nuclear energy this morning as many states across the U.S. try to aim for a net carbon zero or zero emission electricity generation by 2050. And Yael, when we talk about solar and wind, which seems to be the only two energy sources that one side of the political aisle wants to talk about, these things are filthy things that it's filthy to generate these things and produce them, is it not?
Well, there's a lot of different materials that go into it. A lot of raw earth minerals, which do require a lot of mining. And there's been a lot of that has been done throughout the African continent, but still a lot of it is coming from mainland China. And that's why China has such an advantage when it comes to the solar renewable market. All the major companies are based in China, and we're seeing a lot of agreements that are being arranged, investments in South Carolina and parts of North Carolina, where basically these Chinese energy firms can come in, can set up their solar panels, set up the entire system. They just need to have a partnership with a local utility in order to get that to the market. So essentially, we're very reliant upon China. And when it comes to the actual use of solar energy, again, it's all of those rare earth minerals. You're using a lot of plastics, you're using a lot of glass. It takes a lot of energy just to produce these. A lot of people like to say that it is, you know, the cleanest and best source because we're using the sun. But we have to also think about the technology. What is capturing that energy? How are we able to transmit that energy? And most importantly, how do you store it? And that's the main problem that we just have from a physics perspective. We have all of this energy that's being generated on these solar panels. We really don't have any way that we can use it, let's say, 6 months from now. It all has to be used up relatively quickly. And that means that we just don't have the batteries. We don't have the technology yet. And again, the batteries, that's going to be totally reliant on lithium. We've tried very much in North Carolina to start up a couple lithium mines. It's been very difficult with the U.S. Department of Natural Resources and sometimes our state regulators. And it's a very difficult industry, but absolutely true that solar panels are not just this great, you know, climate change solution paragon that we think it is. There really are a lot of dirty elements, a lot of mining, really a lot of things that require fossil fuels even to exist. So it's not a total solution, and it is very costly.
I think you're starting to see a little bit of a shift on this. I was on PBS's State Lines about a month and a half or so ago, and it was right around the time that this legislation that you discussed was overridden by the General Assembly. And one of the Democrat lawmakers on the panel seemed to indicate that, yes, not only were they in favor of nuclear energy going forward as an actual clean alternative to energy, but that more and more Democrats are coming alongside Republicans and talking about this. Are you seeing that same change as well?
I think so. And you even have to just go back to Obama. You know, Obama gave a big touting of this company, Solyndra, which later turned out to be a fraud. But there was always this large push. You know, the solar industry is going to come in and save us all. Everyone's going to sing a kind of climate change kumbaya. But the dirty details are there in that China controls a lot of these beginning elements and products that go into these solar panels. And I think more flagrantly, they own a lot of the companies themselves, meaning that every time that we have any kind of trade war, trade spat, we could see that there would be, you know, some kind of problems for electricity generation in our own backyard because of some global international trade war. That's why a lot of people have for many years, they bang the drums about being energy independent. And when you use a lot of source elements from outside the country, and we need to source a lot of things in China, we're very reliant upon what the tariffs are, what the shipping costs are. You know, are there global pandemics that are stopping things? So these are all considerations. And I do think people are opening up to this. There are still a lot of areas in the world where nuclear energy is banned. You can't even do it at all. But in a place like North Carolina, we can see that there's definitely more upwards potential. And we should be celebrating that. Because there's not really going to be too many solutions that are going to be right in front of us. And I think nuclear is one that we can rely on a lot more.
Yeah, there's no question about it. The nuclear reactors of the 60s and 70s that you see on television and movies are not the same of the nuclear reactors that are being built now. As I noted earlier, GE Hitachi Nuclear is building these literally in our backyard up on Castlehaine Road. For folks that want to read a little bit more, search for the BWRX-300. That's the name of their small modular reactor that they are now promoting and advertising as an actual solution to this problem going forward. Yael Lisowski, our guest this morning, the deputy director over at the Consumer Choice Center. What do you guys do over at the Consumer Choice Center, Yael?
Well, it's a great question, Nick. What a great question. A lot of things that we're doing each and every day. We're trying to put out research, trying to be in media, essentially defending the ideas of consumers having the ability to choose. So we're pro-tech innovation. We want policies that are fit for growth. And we just want smart policy solutions. You know, there's a lot of things that like inflation and regulatory concerns that make our lives more expensive. So I want to be sure that we can free those up so that you can save money and have more fun in your general life. Because there's one thing the government has been coming out against in the last couple of years. It's your own lifestyle freedom. So plenty of research out there on that, different articles that we're publishing, putting out there, trying to be a strong legislative voice as well. So if it comes to the point where legislators do a good job, we're very happy to say so, but also oppose a lot of legislation that would make your lives more expensive. So that's what we do each and every day.
Where do folks find more information?
You can head on over to consumerchoicecenter.org. We're all over the social medias as well. And much like the Wilmington Morning Show here with Nick Craig, we do have our own podcast as well. It's all on consumerchoicecenter.org.
Yael, thank you so much for the time this morning. It was great to get caught up with you again. Let's do it again real soon.
All right, Nick. Thanks so much for everything. All the best.
My pleasure. Yael Lisowski joining us this morning from the Consumer Choice Center. We'll put a link to his article that was over at Real Clear Energy on our social media channels. A nuclear renaissance is the best path forward dealing with energy. And it's just so amazing to me that, you know, you've got this whole seemingly political movement around clean energy and climate change, and the ocean is rising and doom and gloom. And we've got if that's truly the case, if that's what you believe, we have got an energy solution that is right in front of our noses. And for whatever reason, it is just not being adopted by some folks in this green movement. It's very odd.